it was given. I'd like for you to take the Word of God tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to get right into it tonight. I want to say before I start, I feel like I've been preaching a lot of messages where we've been going somewhere and been trying to accomplish things and get the heart, understand where we're coming from. But tonight, this is one of these driving around services. We're just going to drive around and enjoy the scenery. I call these kind of like the State of the Union address. And some people ought to be shouting, amen, praise God, hallelujah, tonight, because this is where we stand. And so this is one of these services where we're not really going anywhere. We're just going to drive around and praise God for what He's given to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. Actually, let's begin reading with verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, last chapter of the book, beginning with verse number 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Verse number 8 is the text tonight. Powerful little verse. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. That's a powerful verse. And I'm going to preach on that thought tonight. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Let me just paraphrase that. You cannot destroy the truth. Tell all of our enemies that. Tell all of our enemies that they can do nothing against the truth. And to be quite honest with you, the very fact that they try to damage the truth just makes it stronger. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Let me paraphrase it another way. You cannot stop the truth, and any attempt to stop the truth will accelerate its spread. You can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Let me just give you a little example of this. Just a couple, a few weeks ago, you heard a lot about Chick-fil-A. And the man got up and he just basically made a statement and a comment that he did not believe in same-sex marriage, and he believed in the conservative views of the way God has ordained marriage. The media tried to crush the man. They put a ban on Chick-fil-A. They said, we're not going to have this. We're going to destroy this company. Guess what? The one day they had more funds come in one day of business than they had any other time. Say, what did it? Some idiots trying to stop the truth. You can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Enemies have always tried to stop the truth. They've tried to ban the truth. They've tried to do everything, but praise God, it's still up here and we're still preaching it. To preach the truth, let me paraphrase another way, to preach the truth is to spread the truth. To fight the truth is also to spread the truth. See, people, when they think they're going to fight the truth and they're going to try to stop what God's going to do, it just accelerates it. You never heard much of Chick-fil-A until the other day. Someone said they stood in line for 2 hours to eat a Chick-fil-A that day. They're going to go under business, brother, because they stand for right kind of marriage. You see that that's not going to happen. Why? You can't do nothing against the truth. And the very attempt to try to stop it just accelerates it. We live in a society today where we think truth is kind of being put down, and it might look a little bleak, it might look a little dark, but let me just tell you, just hang around, the truth will win. The truth will win. And so the whole thought tonight is just this thought. I've named this little sermon this. I've got some humor in it now, so you're going to have some fun tonight. But I've named it this: truth crushed to earth will rise again. It looks bleak. We live in a society today where the Bible doesn't seem like the Bible is much referenced. It doesn't look like today that many people care much about the Bible, but just hang on, the truth will win. The truth is going to be around. And I want to talk to you tonight, just give you some helpful things, give you a little bit of history, give you some helpful things to realize what we have right here in our hands. Listen to me, it's been settled in heaven. These are God's words. It will be there. It's settled in heaven. So let's talk about the history of it. The history of this truth. We're talking about truth tonight. He said, for you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Get a hold of that verse. Anytime you find someone attacking the Word of God or the principles of the Word of God, all they're doing is spreading it and bringing a bigger crop to be sown, because even someone trying to fight the truth is spreading the truth. We'll find the history of it. Look in the book of Acts. The church was persecuted. It was crushed to earth. Think about it. Many of those Christians, early Christians, they were crushed. They were persecuted. But listen to me. You see that it rose again because it spread the message to the Gentiles. Hey, we think about the history, the Roman emperors. Think of Nero. Nero tried to stop the truth. He had all these Christians killed. By the way, while he was having his sexual escapades, he was taking Christians, hanging them up on these sticks and burning them as the light to have their sexual escapades. But it rose again. Nero is in hell and the book still lives. And by the way, we call our boys Paul. He had Paul killed. And we call our boys Paul and we call our dogs Nero. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. Hey, not only did Nero try to crush it, Domitian tried to crush it, Decius tried to crush it, Diocletian, all of the Roman Empire used and tortured Christians and used them as lamps. But the very persecution on those Christians helped it spread. You can do nothing against the truth before the truth. History proves it. Hey, they exiled John to the Isle of Patmos. They exiled him there to think we'll never hear of him again. And they crushed it to the earth. Said, hey, we're going to get rid of this Jesus follower. We're going to put him on this island where he'll never have any influence. He'll never do anything for God. Well, it rose again, Brother Larry, because he just penned the book of Revelation there. Hey, men have always tried to destroy the truth. Popes have tried to destroy the truth. By the way, Catholicism's tried to destroy the truth. Bless God, it's still up here. We're still preaching it. People still getting saved. People in foreign countries today is getting saved just as many today as they ever have been. Why? Because the truth, you can do nothing against the truth. Hey, John Bunyan was put in prison. It was crushed to earth. They said, you can't preach no more. And they took him to court. And you know what he told the court? He was crushed, Brother Cobby. Said, hey, we're going to take care of John Bunyan. This guy that's going out preaching on these tombstones, he's preaching all over the place. He's getting on our nerves. He's making trouble. And so they said, we're going to get rid of this person speaking the truth. They put him in jail. But bless God, it rose again. He looked at him and he said, listen, you put me in jail today. You release me tomorrow. I'll be preaching tomorrow. The truth. You can do nothing against the truth. Hey, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you don't hear a whole lot about this, but he was voted out of the London Baptist Association. Only 7 men voted for him. Can anyone tell me the names? Can you tell me of any of the people that voted against Charles Haddon Spurgeon? No, but we all know Charles Haddon Spurgeon to be the prince of preachers. He stood for the truth. Hey, right here in this city, and I know some of you might know more about it than I do, but hey, Lee Robertson was censored and he was voted out of the Hamilton Baptist Association, from what I understand. And he took a stand on strong mission giving. And when the association said, hey, you can't do that, he said, oh, yes, I can. He took a stand for the truth. And by the way, it might have looked grim, and I've read that biography of Dr. Robertson, and you know, I know those were tough days for him, but you know what? It rose again, because I don't believe you could go to one country in this world that you don't find someone that's been touched by the life of Lee Robertson. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. The history of it. Hey, think about Lester Roloff. Give you a quick story here. When he first started out, he said, I don't have enough for the Baptists. He said, I don't have enough for the evangelicals. He said, I don't know what I am. He was in a little radio station that was owned by the Southern Baptist Convention. And he started to preach on alcohol, and he started to preach about sin, and he started preaching about all this thing that made all the Southern Baptists mad. You know what they did? They censored him, and they were going to kick him out of that and take that little radio station from him. You know what happened? Truth rose again. He, when it was all said and done, Southern Baptist Convention went bankrupt in his little county, and he owned the 50,000-watt radio station when it was all said and done. You can't do anything against the truth, and the more you fight it, the more our enemies fight it, the more it spreads. Is that what the Bible says? For you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Hey, Hitler tried to exterminate the Bible. Hitler's dead and in hell, and the Bible lives on. Hey, Voltaire tried to say the Bible was not the Bible, was not the Word of God. Voltaire is dead and in hell, and the Bible still lives. Mussolini said in Italy he was going to destroy the Bible. We don't need to live by the precepts of the Bible. It's a Bible that was written by men. Listen, Mussolini's dead, but the Bible still lives on. Hey, the history of the Bible, you can do nothing against the truth. Hey, Lenin, Voltaire, hey, communism has tried to eliminate the Bible. By the way, communism is weak today as it's ever been. And the Bible's as strong as it's ever been. Hey, I want you to know, when the Bible, enemies have tried to burn it, they've tried to change it, they tried to trim it, they tried to ban it, but the book lives on. Hey, it was crushed to earth years ago when the Bible was taken out of our school system. Hey, listen to me. I've talked to many of you older folks. You've told me, you know what our handbook used to be? You know what we used to read out of the school? We used to read the Bible, but one day it was crushed to earth and said, hey, we don't want your Bible in our schools anymore. We don't want your prayer anymore. Well, you know what happened? Truth was rose again. Many, many Christian schools raised up because of that. Somebody help me. Hey, there wouldn't be no Christian schools today if the public school would have kept the Bible in education. And by the way, I thank God for every young person in this church that goes to public school and takes a stand on the Bible. And I hope you take a stand for the Bible. We went to a game the other day, and I told the brother that I went with, I said, now, brother, listen to me. I've done learned. I know I'm hero at church, but I'm zero in these type of places. I've done learned that. I've noticed our young people, when they see me at school, you know what most of them do? Most of them, and Brother Matt, you're over there this week. You better not do me like that. And I don't think you will. But I've seen some of our young people. If you want me to tell you who they are, I'll tell you. And some of them are going to get real red-faced tonight. But some of you, you've seen me and you've ignored me at your school function. You know why? Because I embarrass you. Shame on you. But I'll tell you right now, if you go to public school, you ought to stand for the truth. People ought to know you're a Christian. And by the way, some of you need some real work on that because I have been to some of these school functions and I have eyes. Out your old. You say, Pastor, you're being mean. No, I'm trying to help you. I love you. And by the way, you shouldn't act any different just because I'm there. You ought to act different because Jesus has saved your soul. And you ought to stand for the truth because one day you think I'm an old fuddy-duddy. You might think your parents is an old fuddy-duddy, but listen to me, truth will matter at the end of your life. Popularity won't matter much. If you're in the crowd at school, won't matter much, but it will matter if you've studied and lived the truth of God's Word. Hey, the history of it. Hey, truth was crushed to earth at the turn of the century. Publishers flooded our society with what we call new versions or call new Bibles or new translations. And you know all these versions have done? It's caused more confusion than any other thing about the Word of God. Amen. I want to say to y'all tonight, I'm not mean about it. I take a stand on the King James Bible. By the way, I think everybody here, you ought to get plugged in the King James Bible. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if you want to get into the reason of why we believe the King James Bible, then come to evening school of the Bible and pay $20. No. I taught a lesson on bibliology, and it's just as simple and as clear. By the way, let me just make it very simple. There's only two versions. There's either the received text, which the King James Bible come from, or there is a majority text, but we've got the Byzantine text, or the corrupt text that every other version came from. So it's not necessarily a bunch of versions, it's two. They both can't be right. Now, I'm not going to make undefensible statements about the Bible. I do understand. I've heard preachers say, well, if you don't get saved out of the King James, you're not saved. That's foolish. It's foolish. You can't defend that. By the way, our bus director, our community outreach director, for months he carried around the New King James Version. I didn't even know it. He came to Greystone Baptist Church one night. He had his Bible there, and I just happened to look at it, and I said, well, you got a New King James? He said, yeah, this is the Bible he's given me. My pastor looked at it and said, boy, you need to throw that in the trash. Well, that bothered you a little bit. He didn't know any different. You know, just because people don't understand it don't mean that they're being defiant. Just some people just don't know. We got to help them. And so we gave him another Bible. But preacher said, you need to throw that thing away. You didn't throw it away. Yeah. Now, he don't use it today. He uses the King James because he understands and believes what the King James says. But listen, you say, what's going on with all these translations? I'm going to tell you, it's caused more doubt for the Word of God than any other thing. You got people sitting around, you got theology students sitting around really going, well, is it really God's word? Was it double inspiration? All of these things they're talking about. No, listen to me. God breathed his word. He inspired his word, but he also promised us he would keep our word, his word, and he's kept it to every generation. That means yours and ours. Hey, I want you to know the truth crushed to earth shall rise again. There's more of a defense of the King James Bible today than there's ever been. And I'm thankful our church stands on what it does, and I don't have to get up and defend it all the time. You know what we just need to do? We just need to preach it, Brother Larry. Amen. Just need to preach it. Hey, we see the history of it. Hey, number two, the happiness of it. You can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Tertullian said this, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The more they persecuted, the more they killed, the bigger the crop came. So no matter what attempt is made, it only fertilizes the next crop. So I say to all of our enemies, keep on persecuting us. It's just going to spread it even more. Hey, it might look pretty bleak. Just hang around. It will rise again. This book will linger to all generations, Psalm 100, verse 5. The truth endureth forever, Psalm 117, verse 2. This truth shall linger until every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. This truth shall linger till all of its enemies are dead and gone. This truth shall linger till Islam becomes Wazom. This truth shall linger till communism and atheism returns to the hell that spawned it. Hey, this truth shall linger because it is settled in heaven. Hey, this truth shall linger until Bill Clinton joins the army. Hey, this truth shall linger till Hugh Hefner practices modesty. This truth shall linger till Jesse Jackson becomes the president of the Ku Klux Klan. This truth shall linger because it's settled in heaven. Hey, this truth shall linger until all of the false religions and cults returns to the hell that spawned them. This truth shall linger. And what I'm trying to say, y'all can say amen, this truth's not going to die. No matter how it's persecuted, no matter who's trying to stomp it out, listen to me, it's going to rise again. It will stand forever. The happiness is that this truth shall linger forever. You cannot do anything against the truth but for the truth. Hey, we're on the winning side. How many of you believe the Bible? Amen. Then you're believing the right thing. The honoring of it. Talk about the history of it, the happiness of it. Hey, how can we honor? If we've got something that is will never be stopped and it's going to continue to rise and continue to go forward, shouldn't we honor it? Shouldn't we honor it tonight? How can we honor it? How can we as Christians, how as we at Tiftonia Baptist Church can honor it? Here's what I say to everyone. Preach it, preachers. Hey, spread it, soul winners. Defend it, Christians. Return to it, churches. Teach it, Sunday school teachers. Explain it, parents. Contend for it, saints of God. Demonstrate it, Christians. Enforce it, Christian schools. Fight for it, preachers. Read it, families. Let me just help y'all just a second. Y'all can play church if you want to. We can play church if we want to. But listen to me, some of you, and sometimes when I have a bad attitude about things, I want to tell you what it is. It's because we're not in the Bible. We're not reading the Bible. I'd like to go around and ask every one of these teenagers and ask every one of these children, hey, how much your mommy and daddy read the Bible? How much time do they watch television with you? How much time do they do other things with you? But how many of them are reading the Bible to you? Wonder how many people would be ashamed and red-faced. You say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I go to Tiftonia Baptist Church. No one should talk to me that way. No, but I know where we live, and I know how we live, and we're spending very little time in the Bible. We talk a lot about it. We act like we know a lot about it, but we're doing very little reading about it. Our children have learned more negative things about us than they have positive because we simply don't get in the Bible and find out what God says about things. We say we're Christians. How can we be Christians? We ought to honor the truth. We ought to honor the Word of God. We ought to know what the Word of God is. Listen, every teenager in this church ought to be able to go to their daddy and ask them questions about the Bible long before they ever come to me as the pastor. Your children ought to have more confidence in you as a man of God and a man of the Bible than they would me. Somebody say amen. You say, I'm a Christian. Yes, but are you reading the truth? Are you standing for the truth? Hey, Sunday school teachers, you know what you're to do? You're to teach the truth. Hey, children workers, you say, what are we supposed to do downstairs? Listen to me. You have 40 minutes. It's not there to just fill in time. You're there to do 40 minutes of the best you can to give those children the Bible. I don't mind games, and we'll have games from time to time, but you know, I told Shane, I said, look, we don't have much time with these children, and what our church needs to be involved in is not fun time. We need to be in Bible time. If we believe it. Is it going to help us? Is it going to help these children? You say, well, they need school. Can I help you? They need more of God than they do 4 plus 4. I don't care what kind of degree they got beside their name. If they don't know God, they'll make every foolish decision in the world. I don't care if they got the greatest doctorate from the greatest institution. If they don't know God's Word, are you a student of the Bible? By the way, I've got quite a few books from John Phillips. I've got books by Theodore Epp. I've got books by a lot of these men. But I want to tell you right now, it's no substitution from getting in the Word of God and letting the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts. By the way, you say, Pastor, how do you come up with your messages? You'd be shocked. I don't spend much time reading commentaries. I really don't. Our Sunday school lessons, I know people have different various things. They have, like certain Sunday school material, they don't like some. But listen to me, a good teacher, all they need is an outline. You get an outline to a teacher, they got God on them, they're going to give you something. And by the way, let me just say this too. If y'all preach in your Sunday school, don't bother me a bit. I like for Sunday school teachers to have a little bit of preach on them. Now, Cindy, you can do that because you got all women in there. But Brother Milford, you ought to just get you up, clear you off a spot, and let her rip. Brother Cobb, you ought to just clear you off a spot and let it rip. Brother Aaron, you ought to just clear, because I'm going to tell you, them teenagers need the devil preached out of them. Just like we need the devil preached out of us. Hey, we ought to spread the truth. We ought to preach it. You say, Pastor, why are we trying to go out and show people how to be saved? Because soul winners ought to spread the truth. You say, I want to honor God, then honor His Word. Spread it, read it, teach it, live it. Listen to me. Let me say, you say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you living like a Christian? What kind of a shadow are you casting? Well, I tell you what, you don't have to be around children very long. You find out they haven't fallen far from the tree. That's either old me or praise God. You don't have to be around my dad very long. You can tell I'm Pat Brandon's son. My daughter told me the other day, she said, you're getting more like Pawpaw every day. Some of that's good, some of that's bad. But you know what I'd like to say? I'd like to say I'm getting more like Jesus every day. Is that a concern of yours? You'll never do it if you're not in the Word of God, reading the Word of God. Teenagers, you say, I have trouble with sin. I have trouble with all these things. And I just got, you know what? I'm going to tell you what. You have a desire to get in the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, it will become a light into your path. It will become a food to you that you can't get enough. It will be a craving that you cannot feel. And it won't hurt you either. The honoring of it. Hey, we need to honor it. We need to preach it. We need to spread it. We need to return to it. We need to teach it. We need to explain it. Parents, you ought to explain the Word of God. By the way, if you're going to explain it to your children, you've got to know it yourself. It takes time. And by the way, I'm not against commentaries, but if you have the Holy Spirit of God in your life, He ought to be telling you something. He illuminates the Word of God, by the way. He lights it up. Hey, we ought to demonstrate it as Christians. We ought to enforce it. We ought to fight for it. And we ought to read it, families. Honoring the Word of God. Hey, if we're going to honor it, we ought to honor the truth. We need to tell the truth. We live in a society today where we like to make excuses for everything. We're in a society today where we're playing the blame game. It's creeped in our churches. We got an answer for everything. We got an answer for our children. We got an answer for our grandchildren. We got an answer for everything. No, let's just tell it straight. You know why I do things wrong? It's not because I've had a bad day. It's not because I haven't done this. It's not because that. I'm an old sinner and I had a weak time. Well, that's just his personality. No, that's a bad personality that God can give him victory over. We ought to tell the truth. Hey, we ought to tell the truth about sin. We ought to tell the truth about homosexuality. It's an abomination. I'm not being ugly, but that's what the Bible says. We ought to tell the truth about drugs. Drugs destroys lives. Whether it's prescribed, and what I mean by that is good people get hooked on narcotics. Good people that have real legitimate pain needs to be careful, because you can get hooked on a little old pill this big that will control your life. And that's creeped in our churches too, by the way. Can't go without them. How about you counteract that with getting in the Bible and letting Him be your all, not some little pill? Hey, we ought to tell the truth. Hey, we ought to tell the truth about alcohol. By the way, I'm going to make this clear. It's a sin. I draw the line. It kills people. It's a sin. In moderation or in excess, it's wrong. Period. The reason I said that and the reason I brought that up, I was talking to someone the other day and I was reminded again of a dear friend of mine that I grew up with. It just started out with a little drink, Brother Jim. Pretty soon he'd become a full-fledged drunk, and I buried him at the age of 34. I've never been the same. We went to a house the other day and knocked on doors. Three precious little children came to the door, and the mom was sitting over there on a drunken stupor, couldn't even get up out of the chair. The two little children, there was a little baby there, and the little boy was playing mommy and daddy. He was taking care of all of them. Why? Because drunkenness, alcohol, had stolen his mother. Period. I don't care how much she drunk the night before. I don't care what she had done. Let's tell the truth about it. It's sin. Let's tell the truth about sin in our life, and let's not make excuses for it. Let's tell the truth. You say, hey, I want to honor God. Then tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Tell your children the truth. Tell your grandchildren the truth. Tell other church members the truth. Tell the truth. You want to honor the truth? Then just tell the truth. Hey, we ought to tell the truth. We ought to spread the truth. Hey, we ought to accept the truth. We ought to accept it for salvation. Hey, we ought to accept it for our convictions. I get tired sometimes of hearing people say, well, I just don't have that conviction. Well, you ought to get it. If it's in the Bible, you ought to have that conviction. If you're a Bible believer, hey, I'm more than just a Baptist. I believe what the Bible says. If the Bible says it, that ought to be a part and ingrained in our lives. You say, Pastor, why do you have certain ideas about certain things? Well, there's some things that are just common sense, but I try to live my life, Brother Larry, by convictions from I get from the Word of God. Some people don't understand me. Some people misunderstand me. Some people think that I'm mean. Some people think that I want to be divisive. Some people want to think, well, he's not kind or he's not compassionate. No, listen to me. I've got to stand. I've got to give an account to the Lord. And I've got to live my life by the convictions of the Bible. We ought to tell the truth. We ought to accept the truth. Hey, we ought to spread the truth. You say, I'm not much, Pastor. Spread the truth anyhow. If you were brought up in a broken home, you can still spread the truth. If you were not raised in a Christian home, bless God, you can still spread the truth. If you're bashful, you can still spread the truth. If you don't have the greatest of voices, you can still spread the truth. If your biceps are the size of a grape, you can still spread the truth. If you have the worst of everything and, bless God, a northern accent, you can still spread the truth. Hey, if you were spanked at 10, 2, and 4 every day of your life, you can still spread the truth. If you don't know Voltaire from Solitaire, bless God, you can still spread the truth. If you think Job and Malachi is a book of the Bible, you can still spread the truth. If you think Mozart and Beethoven played at the Grand Ole Opry up in Nashville, you can still spread the truth. If you think Chaucer is something you put a cup in, you can still spread the truth. If you don't know Charlemagne from Charlie Chaplin, you can still spread the truth. If you graduated from Mississippi State, Iowa State, Michigan State, Penn State, or the state pen, you can still spread the truth. If you're 4'7" or 7'4", you can still spread the truth. If you're not handsome, if you're not pretty, you can still spread the truth. If you've not been saved long, you can spread the truth. Y'all need to help me here. If you're going through rough times, you can still spread the truth. If you've been in trouble most of your life, you can still spread the truth. If you've been mistreated, you can still spread the truth. If your church is going through some blessing times, you can spread the truth. If your church goes through rough times, you can still spread the truth. If you still say collar instead of color, you can still spread the truth. If you think it's pinto beans and not brown beans, you can still spread the truth. If you don't like fried okra but you like boiled okra, you can still spread the truth. Right? Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? I've heard every excuse under the sun why we can't tell somebody about Jesus. You need to tell them about Jesus. Doesn't matter if you're bashful. Well, Pastor, I just don't like doing that. No, but it's awful funny. We can talk about everything else. Well, Pastor, you don't understand my background. Hey, it doesn't matter what your background is. You can still spread the truth. By the way, if we're going to honor the truth, we ought to spread the truth. How many of you told somebody about Jesus this past week? How many of you invited somebody to church this week? How many of you have spent time talking to people about the Lord? You're spreading the truth. Hey, that's some humorous things in there, but I want you to know, I think all of us are clear tonight. All, everybody here can spread the truth. And we ought to. How many of y'all like that collar or color? Bless God, even though we say it wrong, we can still spread the truth. Brother Dickie come to me the other day. He said, I met some folks from West Virginia and they call brown beans pintos. I said, well, they ain't right with God. Plus, they're from the northern part of West Virginia and they're Yankees. Hey, that's the last thing I want to say. If you're a Yankee, bless God, you can still spread the truth. If you're a hillbilly from West Virginia, you can still spread the truth. If you're a Tennessee Volunteer fan, you can still spread the truth. If you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, you can still spread the truth. If you're a UTC fan, you can still spread the truth. And by the way, we ought to talk more about the Lord than those teams anyway. Spread the truth. There's a big thing back there on the back foyer. You can walk. I was sick before I got started, but now I feel a little good. Preaching's like the measles, just kind of pops out on you. Right back here in that foyer as you walk, and some of you liking it, some of you ain't. And I can tell. But it's okay. We ain't going to change it. How many of y'all like preaching? Y'all like it loud? Y'all like it hard? How many of you like it long? Not very many people. Amen there. As you walk out that door tonight, there's a little table back there. And there's some little tracts back there that says God loves you. And the inside of them tracts, it tells people how they can go to heaven. It's got the truth in it. Right. By the way, they're more important than a dollar bill that you carry in your pocket. Yep. That will tell somebody. We was talking to someone the other day, and Shane said, hey, on the back of that, tell you how to get to church. On the inside of it, tell you how to get to heaven. I like that. Mm-hmm. On the back of that tract, tell you how to get to the best church in Chattanooga. But inside will tell you how to get to heaven. I like both of those. But are we spreading the truth? Hey, what I'm trying to say is everybody can spread the truth. Once there stood on the banks of the River Jordan, kind of a strange fella come walking on the scene. There was another strange fella down there baptizing people, eating wild honey and eating locusts. And by the way, that wasn't bugs, it was a tree, the locust, like a fig. As a little boy, I thought John the Baptist walked around biting the heads off of bugs. Strange kind of fella down there baptizing people. But then another strange man come up on the scene. About that time, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. Yeah. that taketh away the sin of the world. And can I say to you, that man that come walking up the bank of that river, he was the creator in Genesis. He was the great I Am of Exodus. He was the sacrifice of Leviticus. He was the brazen serpent of Numbers. He was the lawgiver of Deuteronomy. He was the conqueror of Joshua. He was the great judge of Judges. He was the kinsman redeemer of Ruth. He was the prophet priest of Samuel. He was the great king of kings. He was the historian of Chronicles. He was the temple rebuilder of Ezra. He was the wall rebuilder of Nehemiah. He was the savior of the Jews in Esther. He was the redeemer that liveth in Job. He was the great song of Psalms. He was the wisdom of Proverbs. He was the great preacher of Ecclesiastes. He was the rose of Sharon of Song of Solomon. He was the coming salvation of Isaiah. He was the one to return to in Jeremiah. He was the weeping woman of Lamentations. He was the great visions of Ezekiel. He was the stone cut out without hands in Daniel. He was the forgiving one of Hosea. He was the one coming to Bethlehem of Judah in the minor prophets. He was the king of Matthew, the servant of Mark. He was the son of man of Luke. He was the son of God of John. He was the pyre of the church in the book of Acts. He was the dynamite of the gospel in Romans. He was the restorer of the carnal nature of Corinthians. He was the rent veil of Galatians. He was the heavenly one of Ephesians. Woo, I might get through this. He was the sufficiency of Ephesians. He was the shadow of Colossians. He was the coming one of Thessalonians. He was the great appearing God of Timothy. He was the blessed hope of Titus. He was the pleading one of Hebrews. He was the rock of our salvation of Peter. He was the blessed assurance of John. He was a contender of the faith of Jude. And bless God, he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of Revelation. Here he come, down the bank. Here he came, down the bank. Pretty soon, those men that he had died for took him, and they took him to an awful place. They lied about him. They took him to a place and wrongfully accused him, wrongfully tried him. They put him on a cross, and he gave his life and died. But 3 days later, bless God, truth that was crushed to earth, it rose again. And listen to me, it always will. Now, if you can't get excited about that, y'all dead. What I'm trying to say to you tonight, everywhere you cut this book, it speaks of Jesus Christ. This book is Jesus. And bless God, I want you to know, we live in a society today where we're looked at as old fuddy-duddies. We're looked at as, all y'all, those independent Baptists, all y'all believe is the Bible. They say you're an old Bible thumper. They say, oh my, y'all aren't with the times. You believe a book that's been written by a bunch of men, not written by God. I want to say to them, truth looks like it's down, but listen to me, it's rising again. And I want to say to you, this church will take a stand on the Word of God. And by the way, I'm not going to look around and see if other people standing with me, because I know I'm going to have some people standing with me, because I'm not, just because I'm the pastor of this church, I shouldn't be standing alone on this. Everybody here ought to stand on it. You know why? We might be criticized. We might be misunderstood. We might not even be liked, Brother Milford, but bless God, we're going to stand on this book. If it makes people mad, Brother Larry, I'm sorry. We'll try to preach it the best way we can, but we're going to stand on what the Bible says. Whew! Y'all with me? How many of y'all see Jesus in every book of the Bible? When you go to the Old Testament survey, thank you, Chase. He's with me. He ain't went to sleep yet. I'm quitting. By the way, you know how preachers get called to preach? People just getting up and having a shouting fit like that and just getting with it. I've never known anybody get called to preach in an old dead humdrum church where the pastor gets up and says, well, now let's talk tonight. We're going to talk tonight about the forgiveness of sins. I'll tell you what. Is it storming outside? Must be. Maybe the Lord's telling me to stop it. Did he tell me to quit? Because I just said I was going to stop. Y'all enjoying it? Hey, listen right here. This book shall endure to every generation. We just going to stand on the book. Chase, look at me, buddy. When you get older, this book is the book you're to live by. When your daddy and mommy sets you down at night and y'all read the Bible right now, I know you don't understand everything about it because it don't have a lot of pictures in it. But you just listen to what your daddy reads, and I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to help you to live by this book. Hey, it works. Tell you what we need to do. We just need to get back to it. Families, get back to it. Turn your televisions off and get back to it. Turn your Xboxes off. Get back to it. Get these cell phones. Let me have your cell phone. Let me take a ball peen hammer to it. A tool of the ministry. That's the excuse I get from up here in the front row. Well, it's a tool in the ministry. Well, if I see y'all tooling it in the services, it's going to get banned out of here. This right here. Some of you teenagers, when you get up, you know the first thing you grab for is that cell phone. Somebody give me an amen right there. He said, I get a witness right here. It's awful quiet, conviction. Let me go right back here and see if I can get a shout. Hey, some of you teenagers, the first thing y'all do is when y'all get up out of bed, y'all reach for your cell phone.
Amen.
Lying like a dog. Y'all know what you ought to be grabbing for? Y'all help me. What? Say that louder. The Bible. Right? Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Oh, gotcha. Praise God. I feel good on that. I thought you were going to say she don't have a Bible. She says you don't have a cell phone. Hey, right here. Truth crushed to earth shall rise again. I don't know about y'all. Y'all glad y'all part of a church like that? I had someone come to me the other day and he said, well, now, Pastor, we come from one of these churches. Here's what they said to me. He said, y'all still preach the Bible on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? I said, yeah. They said, our pastor, we don't preach it anymore on Sunday night. We have some kind of a drama every Sunday night. Boy, it is exciting. I love to watch Barney Fife. But I don't want to come to church to watch him. You know what I want to hear? I want to hear the Bible. I like it loud, like it long, like it strong, like it sweet. I just like the Bible. Brother Corey, you got saved not long ago. You know why? Because of the Bible, you heard the truth. You say, what's going to keep people in church? What's going to keep people in the way? The truth. If you're here tonight, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you what, the Bible will show you how to be saved. You can trust it. I want to stand for the truth. And by the way, I'm a nice guy. I try to be a nice guy. Some of you might think I am, some of you might think I'm not, but I want to tell you something. The only time we'll become enemies is when someone is opposite of this book. That's it. I'll work and work with everybody until they start getting on the opposite side of what this book says. Because my life has been plotted out. It's going to be lived by the Word of God.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, every mom and dad, it makes your home simple if you'll just plant it by the Word of God. Let's all stand.